He's doing well. He's doing well. Mickey, nice seeing you. This morning, victory comes in different forms. We started that 2 weeks ago. And of course, last week we had Pastor MacDonald. And I love with one of the phrases that he used, or one of the things that he said, that we are not certified refurbished. We are brand new people in Jesus Christ. I think that's so valid. It's so good to know that I'm not a refurbished individual. I'm brand new in Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to catch up on a couple of things that I mentioned 2 weeks ago. But as we look at the scriptures this morning, so much of it is Old Testament, and we'll end off with the New Testament. But this book, if you haven't got one, get one. The Bible is an amazing, amazing book. As you look at the Bible, you'll discover that there's 66 books compiled in here. I mean, it's small print, you get large print, you get giant print, and you've got different translations. But you know, this Bible is a fascinating book. It's so true. Written over a period of time, what's it, 1,200, 1,500 years, over 40 authors from various backgrounds. 66 books, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, the Old Covenant. The better word is Old Covenant, New Covenant. That's what it's all about, the Old Covenant. Jesus ushered in the New Covenant. And then we also recognize that this Bible was written in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. So the English that we use today is a translation. And it's very difficult at times to get the exact meaning from the Hebrew, the Greek, or the Aramaic. Very small portions of Aramaic. But predominantly, it is Hebrew and Greek. And as I go through this Bible and study it, it's amazing that you would read a certain portion in maybe your meditation today, and 5 years later, you look at that and said, I never realized that's what it said. And that's why it's called the Living Bible, or the Living Book, or the book that is alive. Although I mentioned it's a fascinating book, it's called the Inspired Word of God. In other words, God breathed upon folks and they wrote the Bible. And it's amazing with the Bible, though. How did God speak to those guys? Was it an audible voice? Was it an inward voice? Were they hearing voices? Well, virtually all of that. He spoke to them inwardly. He spoke through audible ways. So God is fascinating in that sense as well. But the Christian life is a lifestyle that is developed in having a relationship with God the Father, which resulted from the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus never rose from the dead, there would be no salvation. Nothing whatsoever. So man will be dead in their sins. And I also noticed that the followers of God experience victory over circumstances in different forms, in different ways. Different times in your life, you experience victories where it seems like defeat was inevitable. And lo and behold, out of the blue, there's victory. And I said, I never expected this, but yet we pray for it. And it somehow works out that way. I don't necessarily believe at times what I expect God to do, and then God does it, and I say, wow, he did it regardless of me. And that is God. And that's why I love God, and I want to encourage you to love him with all your heart. The different forms that we have in our circumstances that at times lead to victory is not a one-fit-all. Your life is unique. My life is unique. My challenges are unique. There is common ground somewhere that we have the same kind of challenges. But I want us to look at some examples of the people of God that trusted God. And that's the emphasis this morning. Trusted God and was obedient to his instructions. Let's pause for a moment. Trusted God. On a scale 1 to 10, how's your trust? Don't answer. Just analyze. It's easy to trust God when the going is good. It's challenging at times to trust God in the valleys. Because oftentimes I have experienced people saying, God, if you're out there, listen to me, hear me. And these are people that have been on the road for many, many years. Because we're human, because we're bound to this earth for now, we do have our ups and downs, and there's times that we may question certain things. But you've got to ask yourself, what is my trust like? Can I get to the point in my life that I will trust God no matter what? Do I have to wait for a crisis to hit me before I trust him? Or will I trust him as a lifestyle? Not on an occasion on a Sunday. A lifestyle. Is that my lifestyle, trusting God? And then the second question we have to ask, I have to ask, you've got to ask, how obedient am I to God? How obedient am I? How obedient am I towards following him? How obedient am I towards giving towards him? How obedient am I in making disciples? Those are questions only you can answer. I can't answer them. I can only answer for myself. But trust and obedience. So let's play devil's advocate as a child of God. If there is no trust, if there is no obedience, what do I have? Think about that. Okay, let's go 50-50. I do trust, but I don't obey. What kind of Christian am I? How successful am I going to be? I trust you. It's the same with the word of God. I love you, Lord. I love you. We say that often. I love you. But if you love me, you will obey me. So you see how short we are at the times, at the end. We fall short at times. However, note that all these victories that we're going to look at from last 2 weeks ago and the victories this morning all pertain to Israel, or most of them. There are some in the New Testament. And then we get, of course, to Israel. I've asked those questions on Wednesday nights. We've asked the questions over here. Why Israel? Why did God choose the Hebrews? Why did he choose those people? Why? Why did he choose Jerusalem? As I said, why didn't he choose Three Rivers? Why? I don't know those answers. I don't. But he's sovereign. He's God. He created everything and he can do as he pleases. So I don't know, but getting to Israel, and I ask the questions about Israel that he's done for Israel at times, regardless of the stubbornness of the Israelites, and yet he's put them aside to be his nation. And then when you continue reading in the Word of God that towards the end times, Israel, that little place that is the size of New Jersey, is going to be a blessing to the world. Are you serious? But yet this little nation that's the size of New Jersey is the only nation that people want to get rid of it and wipe it from the face of the earth. What has it done? Oh yeah, we can say the Jews did this and the Jews did that and the Jew this and the Jew that, but yet Jesus, our Savior, was a Jew. So we've got to be careful when we start saying those kind of things. The Israelites were in bondage for hundreds of years, slaves in Egypt, until the moment of truth came when Moses conveyed a message from God to Pharaoh in Egypt. He went to Pharaoh after God had spoken to him in the burning bush in the desert, and he went to Pharaoh and approached Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the face of the earth at that time. And he says to Pharaoh, this is what God says, let my people go. Phenomenal words, those. I don't know if I would have the audacity from coming out of a desert, number one, to go back to a place where I killed an Egyptian. I ran away for my safety and I stayed 40 years in the desert. God finds me in the desert and he says, I want to go back to the place where you killed somebody. Different Pharaoh, different leader. And I want you to go tell that leader. Now remember, this is a desert boy. Oh, well, he's not a boy. A desert man. I don't know what the cleanliness was like and the smell that comes with the desert. But now he's approaching the most powerful. How did he get there, firstly? How did he get into the presence of this guy? And he approaches the most powerful man on the face of the earth. And he says, God says, I've got to tell me, let my people go. If I was Pharaoh, I wouldn't even pay attention to this individual. But he did. He paid attention to this individual. Of course, Pharaoh did not comply because he would have forfeited what? Cheap labor. Cheap labor is, every company likes cheap labor. You give them peanuts, but they act like monkeys at times. So here we have an individual that resisted. And Pharaoh chooses not to heed to that instruction. The result of Pharaoh not letting God's people go free resulted in plagues coming one after the other, one after the other. Of course, Pharaoh's magicians was able to match all that until the last plague, the death of the firstborn. Then he realized he's playing games with a power that is greater than his power. And that's where we are today, people playing games with God, but yet still not recognizing that God's power is greater than their power. So the firstborn sons of all the households in Egypt died, including Pharaoh's son. You see, folks, when things happen to other people, it doesn't matter. But when it happens within your household, you sing a different tune. You don't identify or relate to folks that are going through things there, but when it's here in the house, all of a sudden, it catches your attention. And that's what happened with Pharaoh. His son died. And the command that he gave to the Israelites was, get out of here and be done with you. In other words, you and your Israelites, go worship God on your own terms. Get out. Well, that was a great day for the Hebrews. As a matter of fact, they took a lot of the gold, silver with them and off they went. Estimated over 1 point something, some people say 2 million people heading out. And that was the easy part, leaving Egypt. And they got to a place where the Israelites were between, or the Hebrews were between, a rock and a hard place. The Red Sea before them. And what did Pharaoh do? Did he keep to his word? No. What did Pharaoh do? We find that through the scriptures, Pharaoh instructed 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them to pursue the Israelites, either bring them back or kill them. Now we have the Israelites marching ahead, seeing the dust behind them. And then we have this in Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, I find this ironic and I find it very difficult to believe at times. And when I read the Word of God, and you and I would read the Word of God, but because we're not involved, we don't necessarily interpret it the way it should be, but also we can't relate to it because we're not there. But we can have an idea of what is going on with this massive group of people with animals, mother, father, individuals, single moms, etc., etc. And yeah, they are marching on to the promised land that God has given to them. And all of a sudden, there's this huge cloud, dust cloud behind the Israelites. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. That happens in our lives too. You're going through a tough time and somebody tells you, don't worry. Your response sometimes will be, you don't know what I'm going through. Don't you tell me not to worry because you don't know what I'm going through. Don't worry. Be happy. Thanks, Jane. Thanks, Barry. Don't worry. Be happy. In God we trust. Thanks, Everett. Thanks, Kathy and the boys. So what do we have? Don't be afraid. Listen to the information imparted to the Hebrews. Don't be afraid. And I think you and I can take lessons from this because oftentimes when we are in a valley or we're in adverse circumstance and we can't see our way out, one of the first responses of the human being is to panic. You panic. I don't know. Help me out. Complete the phrase. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Is it different to this? Well, this was far more intense. Don't be afraid. Just stand still. Are you kidding me? You don't. I can't go forward. I'm going to drown. I can't go back. I'm walking into the lion's mouth. So you telling me I've got to stand still and wait to be killed. Is that what you're telling me, leader? Leader, is that what you're telling me? Moses, is that what you're telling me? No. Moses says, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. Not tomorrow, not the day after, today. So my conclusion is God's timing is always perfect. Can I understand it? No. Can I anticipate it? No. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. And he uses this phrase in the New Living Testament or the New Living Translation, second edition, where he says, just stay calm. Take your blood pressure tablet now. Let your blood pressure come down. Just stay calm. You see, we can't relate to this now because we're not here. But some incidents in your life you can relate to where you did not stay calm, only to the point when you're going to say, God, my life is in your hands. Whatever happens, it's okay with me because it's well with my soul. In Exodus 14, 15, and 16, we continue, then the Lord said to Moses, and another thing that I think you and I can learn from, because we oftentimes want to pray, and there's nothing wrong with prayer. But then the Lord said to Moses, what must you do? I've never heard of God telling anybody to quit praying. Hey, quit praying now. Enough is enough. Stop praying. But now what's happened from this portion of scripture, quit praying and get the people moving forward. Why? Why? Come on, ask yourself, why would God say this? Because if you stay where you are, that's dormant. Where you stay where you are, that's not faith. Quit praying and mobilize the people. Now, the question I would have, I wonder how many of the people were inspired to move forward. Well, the other question, how many were inspired to move back? Which way would you go? Which way would you go? Forward or back? And drown? What is going to be more difficult, to drown or to be beheaded? The choice is yours. You're going to move forward? It's easy for us to say, I'm going to move forward now that we know the story. Get the people moving. Forward march. Use your rod. You see, those are the things I did a whole series on this. Use your rod. Hold it out over the water and the sea will open. It will open a path before you and all the people of Israel shall walk through on what? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen water receding and straight away the ground's dry? I've never seen that. It stays moist for a few hours. Well, particularly on the ocean, it will stay moist and dry out a little bit, but nothing. And then all of a sudden, the tide swings and comes back again. But he says, you shall walk on dry ground. What a miracle. What a miracle. Quit praying. So the Israelites went through. And now we got to ask our question again, our questions. Was it the rod or was it faith in God and obedience? And the question then would be, if it was faith in God, who had the faith? Moses or the people? Or both? Who had the faith? They must have had some form of faith to follow Moses. Right? Now, come on, help me this morning. We got a good crowd. I mean, it's good. Imagine me being Moses. Please, Lord, never. But let me just be Moses. I mean, 1 million people. Wah, 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 wah. No, 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 no. 100, 200, fine. That's no problem. Just follow me. I'm Moses, and I'm telling you, come on, let's go. Move. God says, quit praying, and we start moving. What will be the chit-chat amongst the people? What do you think the chit-chat is? Come on, tell me. He's crazy. He's getting what? He's going to get us killed. Huh? You heard the man move. That may have been the minority. Yeah, you heard the man move, others will say. No way, Jose. Chit-chat, chit-chat. Because you can't have all the people agree all the time. Was it the rod or faith in God and obedience? Well, it was obedience and faith. Faith and obedience to do what God told him to do. And for the people to go, they must have had some form of faith as well. And now we discover the Israelites cross over. The Egyptian soldiers are dead. They got drowned out. And they're 40 years in the wilderness. That's supposed to only be a few months. And Moses dies. But he had an assistant that came up under him, Joshua the leader. And once again, Joshua the leader was not appointed by man, but appointed by God. God always calls a person, no matter what. God always calls a person, calls a leader. And God says to Joshua the following, just listen. Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going. Now you're going to cross the Jordan River. You and all the people cross to the country that I'm giving to the people of Israel. The country I'm giving to the people of Israel. But there's people in that country known as the Canaanites. But they came out of Noah's three sons, one of them. But notice, they were people. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. The Israelites are marching towards a town called Jericho. Now we've had one heck of a miracle, where the sea opens up and the Israelites walk on dry ground. Now God says, I'm taking you to Canaan. That's the promised land that I told you before, and we're heading over there, but you've got to go through Jericho. And this time it's Joshua, not Moses. And we ask the question again. What right does God have to take a land and give it to somebody else? What right does he have? Every right. Why? He made everything. And he can disperse of it as he pleases. And he doesn't need your permission. He doesn't need mine. And I can throw a tantrum and he'll get away. No matter. He can do as he pleases. And then, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, and we're going to try and do this one and go on to today, God lays out the strategy to conquer Jericho. As you know the story very well, you find that in Joshua 6, 3 and 4. Just briefly. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Now, once again, guys, please understand, I'm using basic terminology to get a great truth across. I'm trying to bring it down to where we are today, and if we can just see something in you, remember these are normal human beings like you and I that saw adversity. How were they going to deal with it? The same way you and I must deal with adversity. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Sounds ridiculous. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you're going to more than double up. On the 7th day, you're going to march around the town 7 times. How big is this town for me to march around 7 times? And if I march around the town 7 times, how do you expect me to fight? And if you are marching around the town, isn't the enemy going to see you? Because this is not paving. This is dust. And with a lot of people marching, dust must come into the air and the enemy must see the dust. In other words, they know something's happening. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priest blowing the horns. Wow. It looked impossible. But the Lord declared his plan, and after a few directions as to the order of their march and the blowing of the trumpets, he closed with these strange words in Joshua 6, verse 5. Look what he says. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people do what? People don't like shouting in church today. Got to come into a building and be quiet. Sure. Have all the people shout as loud as they can. Oh, some people know how to shout when the Red Sox are playing. Others know how to shout when the Patriots are playing. They know how to shout. But shout to the Lord? No. But yet the Bible says, shout to the Lord. Oh, no. You ain't going to make me do anything. But I thought you said you love the Bible and shouting is part of the Bible. Well, it's not my character to shout. Well, since you became born again, you're a new creation. You're his creation, so shout. Have all the people shout as loud as they can. And then look what's the result. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight in. Now, how many think this is fiction? You think this happened? Yeah. Historical proof. It did happen. A miracle above all miracles. Now, do you suppose for one moment that this shout caused the walls to fall? Or was it faith and obedience? Was it trusting God and obeying God? Or was it the shouting? It all played part, but in reality it was they trusted God and they obeyed God. The result? Victory. Remember that. Trust, obey equals victory. Hundreds of years later, this incident is referred to in Hebrews 11:30. But one thing is missing in Hebrews 11:30. The word shout. It was by what? Not the shouting. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. But I must mention that just as it was faith, it was also obedience to begin the journey towards Jericho. Notice nothing about shouting. Trust, faith, obedience. Results into victory. In Hebrews 11:6, we have that familiar scripture that it's quoted so often amongst our leaders, amongst the people. It's impossible. Let's say that. It is impossible. What's impossible? What is impossible? So how many of us want to please God? All of us. But it's impossible to please God. What do you need? So does faith please God? For it's impossible to please God apart from faith. Why? Why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Emphasis, cares enough. You believe God cares for you? Do you believe that God would love to see your demise? Or would he love to see you just prosper spirit, soul, and body? That's God. Today, victory comes in a different form. Here's another example of how victory came about in a different form. You looked at the Old Testament with Moses. You looked at Joshua and what he did in Jericho. And now we find another guy, a king in Judah, was told that a vast army was coming up against from beyond the Dead Sea, which is known also today as Edom, possibly the place in Jordan that is called Petra. I don't know if we got it on the map. I'm not even too sure. Nicole, is there a map over there? If you see that Israel on my left-hand side, you see Jordan. You see the little blue in the center, that's the Dead Sea. So when it speaks about on the other side of the Dead Sea from Edom, that is where that little rectangular arrow is showing you towards Israel. So they're moving possibly, not to Amman, which is above, but a little lower where Petra possibly is. And then he realized that he and the people never had enough soldiers. They don't have the power. They don't have the strength. And Jehoshaphat was badly shaken by this news. So what does he do? He calls a fast and he says, guys, we need to see God. I want us to pray. I want us to stop eating. I want God to give us wisdom. And he proclaimed a fast through all Judah and all the people prayed to God. And you find in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 3, something amazing. Jehoshaphat was badly shaken. He announced, I'm just skipping down, that all the people of Judah should go without food for a time. I wonder how you and I would do without food for a time. Yes, fasting was part of my life growing up and Heather's life growing up. Many of you have fasted. And you know, fasting is very challenging. Because after you've skipped two meals, your stomach lets you know, I'm hungry. And when you do have meetings, there's one person that will speak the loudest, and well, one part of your being that speaks the loudest. Shut up. You try and pull your breath in, hold your breath, and you put your hand. Shut up. It's embarrassing. But after the third day of not eating, you get quite used to it. So he announced that all the people of Judah should go without food for a time in penitence and intercession before God. Before I go to the next one in Chronicles, I want to leave a scripture with you and interject a scripture. When afraid, when the unknown faces you, when you really don't know what to do, don't panic. Here's a beautiful scripture. You can take a picture of it or try and memorize it in Psalm 56 verse 3. But when I'm afraid, let's read it together. It's going to help us. But when I will do what? Yes. And print that out and put it on your refrigerator. Keep a copy of that on your phone. It's easy today to walk around with scripture to remind you. Joe, how's the memorization going with the teens? Is that 50-50? We've got to spike that thing up a bit. But when I'm afraid, I will put my confidence in you. I have a suggestion. Before you get afraid, put your confidence in him. I will put my confidence in you. Yes, I will trust the promises of God. And yes, the problem with modern Christianity, they don't know the promises of God because they don't read the Bible. How many promises are there? 700? 1,000? 356, a promise for every day of the year. You could go on to, some folks say 700 and something. Others say no, 1,000. So what am I saying? I will trust the promises of God. And since I'm trusting you, what can mere man do to me? You answer the question. What can mere man do to me? Oh, they can kick me out. They can fire me. Those are horrible experiences. But life goes on. What can mere man do to me? Oh, let's get back. Jehoshaphat called for a fast. But in the crowd was a Levite. So you get your Levitical priesthood from the Levites. His name, Jaziel. Jaziel, the son of Zechariah. Oh, the great prophet as well. Jehaziel told King Jehoshaphat exactly where the invading army was, where Judah's army should take its position. And then he tells the king. Jehaziel tells the king. And then just to watch because God will defeat the enemy. A guy who's a Levite that's in the crowd goes to the guy that ordered the fast and tells him, Jehoshaphat, I know where they're coming from and I want you to take positions and watch what God's going to do. How many of us love watching or how many of us want to be part of fixing it? Sometimes we don't like watching. We are fixers. There's a problem. I want to fix it. And not 2 days. Now. I want to fix that thing now. Things happen around here. I say to Heather, I've got to go. Where are you going? I've got to go fix that thing now. Why don't we do it tomorrow? No, we're doing it now. Procrastination is a sin in God's eyes. 2 Chronicles 20:15. Jehaziel said, "Your Majesty," today's English version, it's another translation. Paraphrase if you want to. Jehaziel said, "Your Majesty and all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, the Lord says," now what do you find here? I'll tell you what I see. God is speaking through Jehaziel and not Jehoshaphat. So I come to the New Testament, and that's why I believe the members, we are all part of the body of Christ, and God uses us. All the people of Judah and Jerusalem, the Lord says that you must not be discouraged. And you find that throughout the Old Testament. You find that from Moses' time already. People discouraged, discouraged, discouraged. You find that in the New Testament because it's common to man to get discouraged. So that you must not be discouraged or be afraid to face the large army. The battle depends on who? I thought we were going to die. The battle depends on God. Not you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. The battle depends on God and not you. The prophet says, attack them tomorrow. And look at 2 Chronicles 20:17. But you will not even need to fight. Okay? If I don't need to fight, why must I take up my position? Is it a farce? Or is it almost like what Moses says? Forward march! Trust and obedience. Trust and obedience. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions. Have you ever been there? Come on, I think some of us, if not many of us, I've experienced some battles in life that I was not actually involved in. I just saw it happen. I just saw how God conquered. I just saw how God opened the doors. I just saw how God removed people. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Why? He's with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Why is he using this terminology? Do not be afraid or discouraged. Do not be afraid. What is the first thing when you see adversity? You become discouraged. You become afraid. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Now look at the next one, 2 Chronicles 20. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people." I like that again. A leader telling, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in the prophets and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers. Oh, singing is nice, isn't it? Appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him. This sounds like Jericho. And praising him for his holy splendor. Okay, let's pause. So when adversity comes your way, what are you supposed to be doing? Come on, help me out. Trust. Obey. S. Sing. Trust, obey, sing. I often visit folks, either in hospitals or wherever, in their homes, and I come in over there, there's tremendous sickness. People are fighting for their life, and you just hear the monitors going off, and you hear this going off, and everybody's looking depressed, and I can understand that some... Guys, if you're in that situation, get some good music going. Get some good music going. The doctors must do whatever they want to, but I've got to build my faith up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get some music going. This, the most morbid thing is to be there and listen. And then on top of it, they're not only lying there listening to all the machines going off, they're watching the darn TV. How can the TV inspire you? Oh, when you see the news on television today, it makes you angry. I mean, there's no way your blood pressure is going to come down while lying in that bed. Listen to good music, Christian music, singing to the Lord and praising Him for His holy splendor. Are these psychopaths? Don't they know what's ahead of them? Don't they see this vast army that's outnumbering them? And God is telling them to sing? This is what they sang. Can you and I adopt this, please? Can we make it part of our vocabulary? Can we make it part of our spirit? When I find myself in adverse circumstances, when I find myself going through a valley, can I adopt this? This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Wow. Wow. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. Just because of singing? No. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. 2 Chronicles 20:29. The result of all these experiences had a snowball effect. Every nation that heard how the Lord had defeated Israel's enemies was what? They never even had telephones in those times, and the news got ahead very, very quick. There was no TikTok in those days. There was no Instagram, but the news got out very quick. Every nation that heard how the Lord had defeated Israel's enemies was terrified. By this wonderful method of warfare, the Israelites were made even more than conquerors, for they took 3 days in gathering the spoil. Look at 2 Chronicles, and we'll end off with Chronicles and just go on to some New Testament quickly. So when the army of Judah arrived at the watchtower that looks over the wilderness, as far as they could look, there were dead bodies. Now, this scene does not compare anything to the scene in the New Testament in the book of Revelation. There it's going to take 7 months to pick up all the dead bodies or get rid of the dead bodies. As far as they could look, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. Look what they did. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. This army that was so overwhelming. You see, folks, sometimes your situation seems so overwhelming. But give thanks to the Lord, for His mercies endure. And they knew every morning. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat. Oh, there's a good thing about Jehoshaphat. He did right. There's a scripture, I don't know if it's somewhere around there. He did right in the eyes of the Lord. He did right. I would love to have that on my tombstone. He did right. Forget about what people say. Forget about what people tell you about me. Forget about it. He's not going to make me do the blah, blah. Forget about what people tell you about me. King Jehoshaphat and his people went out to plunder the bodies and came away loaded with money, garments, and jewels. Stripped from the corpses. Ooh, how disgusting. So much that it took them 3 days to cart it all away. Well, what an investment. All that stuff. What did they do? If I look back now, what did they do? They trusted God. They obeyed God. And every time they did that, it resulted in victory. A lesson for you and me. I'll try to get it for Nicole before the service, but it's not on our computer. Some of you that are old timers, like me, you will recall a particular song. The particular song is Trust and Obey. An old hymn, right? So if you know that, it dates you. In other words, you're part of the dinosaur age. Welcome to my world. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. And then the chorus. Trust and obey, for there no other way. Come on, dinosaurs, you're doing good. To be happy in Jesus, but to... Okay. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. The chorus. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says, we will do, obedience. Where He sends, we will go. Never fear, never fear. Trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. You want victory? Trust and obey. You want victory in adverse circumstances? Trust and obey. And then in the New Testament, the Bible tells us we are more than conquerors, as the Israelites experienced this, that they were actually more than conquerors because God has done the fighting. And in our life, God has done the fighting, and we are now more than conquerors through Christ. What led to the Israelites' victory in every situation and challenge is what? What led to the Israelites' victory? Faith and obedience in God. Trust and obey. Two scriptures. Romans 8:37, and we're going to close on time. Read it together with me, please. In all things, we are what? Through Him. Romans 8:37. You can take a picture of that too. Good to know that. Good to remind yourself. I don't know what I'm going to do. Trust and obey. I can't make it. Yes, you can. Trust and obey. And unfortunately, when we are in those adverse circumstances, the first thing we do, we rob God in the sense of giving to Him our lives, whatever, our finances, whatever, whatever. We just pull back. The enemy wants to isolate you. But in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And let's close with 2 Peter 1 verse 3. By His divine power. Oh, this is something, another thing you can take a picture of and put it on your refrigerator. By His divine power, God has given us what? No. I don't believe it. He's given everything we need for living a godly life. So why aren't we living a godly life if He's given us everything? Huh? We don't accept it? Why not? I'll tell you why. We're stupid. By His divine power, God, guys, please let this sink in. I've got 5 minutes. Let it sink in. By His divine power, God has given us, define everything. Everything we need. So why are we always whining? Instead of looking for a fight to debate some controversial thing, why don't you just find a way to build yourself up in the faith and win souls to Jesus Christ? He has given us everything we need for living. I love this, guys. For living a godly life. So here's the question then. Can every single one of us in this building live a godly life? Yeah. But we can come up with excuses. We have received all of this. All of what? Everything we need. We received it all by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself, by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. How can I describe God any better than that? Marvelous glory, excellence. And He has given me everything to live a godly life that brings pleasure to Him. So, does praise glorify Him? Does whining glorify Him? Does giving glorify Him? Does withholding glorify Him? So the choice is ours. But we've got everything we need for living a godly life. Today, I would end with face your challenges. Please do. I don't know what your challenges are, but you don't know what my challenges were and are at times. Face your challenges. But in facing your challenges, this is not even negotiable. Trust and obey God. At times, stand still and see the enemy defeated. At times, take your positions and see the enemy. Other times, you got to walk, march, forward march. You got to march. And I like what Billy said. Forward march, because he said it. So that's something. When I say it, you do it. Forward march. Face your challenges. Trust and obey. How quick is it to doubt? How quick can your confidence be challenged by doubt? Very quick. Very quick. So we've got to have our minds renewed that we trust God and we obey God irrespective. Can we pray? Father, I thank